celebrate the 88th year of the founding of AA in Akron, Ohio, with this 1988 version of Joe and Charlie, brought to you by the big book, livingalive.com.
Now he says, he moves on, he says, I was a test of my thinking by the new conscious God consciousness within. Common sense with us began uncommon sense.
This is probably step 10, where we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it.
I would have said quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as it would have be. Never was I to pray for myself except for my requests bore my useless others. That only might I expect to receive, and that would be in great measures.
I think we can see step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand it.
My friend promised, when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my Creator, and I would have the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems.
That must be the first part of step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps.
Now we can see here, and this is, remember now, this is in 1934. And this happened at the town's hospital. Ebby had brought Bill these basic tenets, the solution and these basic tenets. Bill applied them to his life, and he recovered. Now later on, you know, he wrote about these things in 1937, as he began to put the book together. This was the first thing he wrote, was Bill's story. It was the very first thing he wrote in 1937. Now, this happened in 1934. This was written in 1937. Now remember, though, we can see the 12 steps. Bill took the 12 steps. Actually, the 12 steps weren't written to 1938, but we can still see the steps in Bill's story. Before they were written, Bill recovered as a result of the steps. This is why he can say, you know, these are the steps that we have taken. He recovered as a result of the application of the 12 steps to his life before they were written.
And then he says, belief in the power of God, plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements. Simple, but not easy. The price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. I must turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. You know, the poor old alcoholic, in order for us to recover, we've got to give up the two things we hold nearest and dearest to our heart. First is alcohol, and second is self-centeredness. Very, very simple idea, but extremely difficult to do. He said these were revolutionary and drastic proposals, but the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory followed by such a peace and serenity as I'd never known. There was utter confidence. I felt lifted up as though the great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. Now, Bill thought he was going crazy. He said, for a moment I was alarmed and called my friend the doctor to ask if I were still sane. And he listened in wonder as I talked. And finally he shook his head saying, something has happened to you I don't understand. But you'd better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were. Now, of course, we were not there that day, so we don't know for sure what really took place in Bill's life. But we do know this. This was probably December the 10th or the 11th of 1934. Bill Wilson died in January of 1971. It was never necessary for him to take another drink of alcohol as long as he lived. Something profound took place in his life that day in the town's hospital as the result of these steps that he took. You see, these were the tenets of the Oxford groups. These were the guidelines. These were the ideas that they had developed from the Oxford groups, which later turned out to be our 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So we can see that Bill's just like you and I. He had to take the steps in order to recover. It wasn't just something that occurred in a blinding flash of light. We can also see that it took not only the steps to recover, but it also took the fellowship that he had with Ebby. See, Bill could not have done this on his own. But Ebby visited with him. Ebby brought him the message. And Ebby helped him in the working of the steps. Ebby was with him at the time the steps were worked. So we can see that it took two things for Bill Wilson to recover. First, it took this little fellowship between he and Ebby. And then it took the program of action that Ebby had brought to him from the Oxford groups. Now, we're going to see in the next chapter exactly what took place in Bill's life. We're going to see that there are two powers that are going to work in our lives to help us recover from our disease. And we got a twofold disease, but we also got a twofold recovery. And the next chapter is entitled, There Is a Solution. And the next chapter will explain exactly what happened in Bill's life. It's going to talk first about fellowship. It's going to talk about how people draw strength from each other through sharing experience, strength, and hope. And it's going to talk about the power that comes from that. But then it's going to warn us that that alone is not enough. It then will talk about the common solution, which is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it'll show us in the next chapter why we cannot live and recover without the 12 steps. The first half of the chapter will be devoted to fellowship. The second half to the common solution. Two powers necessary to recover. Joe?
Okay, now we begin now to have the problem, we begin the solution. And this title, the chapter is the title, There Is a Solution. We of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill. Nearly all have recovered, they have solved the drink problem. We are average Americans, our section of this country, and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. And now it's talking about the fellowship, and the fellowship is made up of all of these things. You know, our fellowship has, we are average Americans. We come from all sections of the country here this weekend. Different occupations in this room. Different political, different economic, different social backgrounds, different races. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is probably the most mixed up group of people in the world. Usually, when people meet together or come together, they have maybe the same job, the same political background, the same economics. They have some of those things in common, but this group here this weekend has none of those things in common. In fact, you know, I always get amazed when I see large groups of AAs together and see, you know, it talks about, you know, I wonder if we didn't talk about AA this weekend at the Big Book, I doubt if we could carry on a good conversation. I wonder what we would talk about. Could we talk about our jobs? we would separate. We started talking about politics probably, our religion, we'd, you know. We are a mixed up group of people. And this is the beauty of AA, that it's such a, so many varied people. He says, we are people who normally would not mix. You know, I think about our relationships in AA, and we should have never even known each other. But there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. We're very, very close, although we should have never known each other. And he explains, as Charlie said, he uses parables to teach. A lot of great teachers taught with parables. In order to get a point over, they use another point that you already understand. And he says, well, I like the passage on a great liner, the moment after rescue from the shipwreck. And during the time this book was written, the way to travel to Europe was on the great ocean liners. And this is a little out of style now, because now we go on the airplane. But he said, you know, on the great ocean liners, there was a distinct class system. People were separated by these things we just talked about. They were separated mostly by money on these ocean liners. You know, if you had money, you was on one end. If you was poor, you was in the bottom of the boat. You know what I mean? They were separated by social and by religion. If you could have money and still, if you had the wrong religion, you'd still be in the bottom of the boat. he said, when the comely rider rejoiced, the mockery pervaded the vessel from the steerage to the captain's table. And the steerage section was the cheapest way to go. You know, the people in the steerage section had the wrong money, the wrong social background, and everything wrong.
Eight cheese sandwiches,
sat down there and just, you know, went over. And they stayed down there, by the way. Every once in a while, they let them come up and get a little air on the fan and tell them the water to blow on them, you know. But as you came up from deck to deck, and, you know, as you had more money and the right social background, it got better and better. And when you got on the uppermost decks, you had the beautiful staterooms. You were... they went into one of the best dining rooms you could eat. It sat at this huge table, and the people at that particular table were the class of the people on the vessel, and they sat with the captain's table. The captain sat at one end, and the closest one to the captain on the right hand side was the best. Then they went on around the table back down this way, and when you got at that table, you had everything right. Now the people at the captain's table should have never met the guy from the steerage section, not on the journey across the ocean. Just like maybe we should have never met in the journey of life. None of us should have never known the other. But it was a moment of disaster on that vessel, like it was a moment of disaster in our lives that have brought us together. You know, I think about that night that the guy from the captain's table and the guy from the steering section, when they jumped overboard, as soon as they hit that water, they had a common problem. They had something in common. And that's what binds us together. And this is why AA is so beautiful. We don't need to know what you do for a living. We don't need to know your religion. We don't need to know your social background, your economic. We don't care about that. Now, the thing that binds us together, we have a common problem of alcoholism. And this is what we can join in brotherless, harmless action. There's no discussion. There's no disharmony about that. And their AA, the AA group is a, really, it is a support group. There's strength in this. There's a lot of power in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous because we support each other. You know, there is no way a person who suffers from alcoholism cannot look at a person who recovered and get hope. He has got to get hope and strength in that group. And that is the power of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a very powerful thing. But then our book goes on to warn us. Unlike the ship's passengers, however, our joy and escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. Now, those people separated and they went their individual ways, but we stay together because we'll always be alcoholics.
When those people got back to shore,
yeah,
their disaster was over with.
That's right.
And apparently the guy from the captain's table looked at the fellow from the steerage section and said, well, I don't need to be associating with him.
That's right.
And surely the guy in the steerage section, he said, I feel uncomfortable with this guy from the captain's table.
Yeah.
So they split and went their individual ways, never to see each other again, probably. But unlike those people, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our ways, because our disaster is always right there.
Right.
It's always right outside the door waiting for us. So we have a different thing even than those from the Titanic.
Right.
It's even a stronger bond among us.
The feeling of having shared a common peril is one element in the powerful cement that binds us. And that's a warning. That's just one part of this. The Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is a very powerful thing. But that's just one part of this. He says, but that in itself would have never held us as we are now joined. The fellowship would have never held us. And I think it's one of the great warnings of the big book. We have to go back to 1939 and look at what was happening in the early 30s when this program was started. Now, they didn't have the trap of the fellowship. It's sort of a trap that you can trick ourselves in. They didn't have 90 meetings in 90 days. In fact, you got a hard time going to 90 meetings. They didn't have that many. They didn't see really the dangers, but they did write about it.
Only 40 of them.
It was only 40 of them scattered across the country. So they didn't have that much fellowship. But as the program began to grow across the country, we got so many meetings and meetings and meetings and meetings, you know, you can just stay sober almost on nothing but fellowship. There's people going to a meeting, going to the fellowship, and never working the program. You know what I mean? That's a sick sobriety. You know what I mean? It's really sick. But that can really happen, and we're seeing a lot of fellowship, you know, recovery. And he says, we can, you know, you can't just stay. But what we have, what this program is all about, changing our lives. And fellowship won't change our lives. It supports us. And John and I say it's real simple. You know, you can't go to 90 PTA meeting in 90 days and become a parent. That will not make you a parent.
There are some steps you'll have to take.
That's right. I couldn't go to Girl Scouts and become a Girl Scout either. You know, really, I couldn't. You know, you'd have to make some changes. And you can't become a sober alcoholic just by going to AA meetings. That supports us. But then he goes on to tell us. He says, there's a tremendous fact for every one of us that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out of which we can absolutely agree and which we can join in brothers, harmless action. This is the great news this book carries for those who suffer from alcoholism. Now, the great news this book carries for those who suffer from alcoholism is not the fellowship, but the common solution. Later on, he's going to say that this common solution, in a few pages, that the common solution is a vital spiritual experience. So right here, he has written a prescription on this one page. We said we found out that we're powerless. Now here's power. And he's saying that the power of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and the power of the common solution, which is the spiritual experience, these two powers will overcome any person's powerlessness over alcoholism. There's no contest. The power of Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and the power of the spiritual experience will overcome any one individual's alcoholism. And right here he writes a prescription of that power that will overcome the powerlessness.
If you enjoyed this episode of Joe & Charlie from Akron in 1988 and would like to hear other versions, different seminars from different years, please visit our website, BigBookLivingLive.com.